Welcome to the OCR GCSE Physical Education Revision Podcast. I'm your tutor for today, and in this episode, we're diving deep into one of the most intellectually rich topics in the entire specification, tactical awareness and decision making. This is topic 7.3, and it sits right at the heart of sports psychology. Whether you're aiming for a grade 4 or pushing for a grade 9, understanding this topic will directly boost your marks in both the written exam and your NEA practical logbook. So let's get started. First, let me set the scene. When you watch a top-level footballer like a midfielder scanning the pitch before receiving the ball, or a netball center deciding in a split second whether to pass left or drive forward, that is tactical awareness and decision-making in action. The question the OCR exam asks is, how does that happen? What's going on in the performer's brain, and how can training improve it? That's exactly what we're going to unpack today. Section 1, Core Concepts. Let's start with the most important distinction in this topic, the difference between a strategy and a tactic. And I want you to really nail this, because confusing the two is the number one mistake candidates make in the exam. A strategy is a pre-planned, overall game plan decided before the performance begins. Think of it as the big picture. For example, a football team might decide before kickoff to play a high press, forcing the opposition into mistakes in their own half. That decision was made in the changing room. It's the strategy. A tactic, on the other hand, is a specific, reactive adjustment made during the performance in response to what's actually happening. So if that same football team notices the opposition's left back is slow, a player might decide to run at them repeatedly. That in-the-moment decision is a tactic. Here's a brilliant way to remember it. Strategy is the script. Tactics are the improvisation. The script is written before the show. The improvisation happens live on stage. Now, let's move on to the information processing model. And this is absolutely essential. You need to know all four stages and be able to apply them to a sporting context. The model has four stages: input, decision-making, output, and feedback. Stage one is input. This is the sensory information the performer receives from the environment. Visual cues, like seeing where opponents are positioned. Auditory cues, like hearing a teammate call for the ball. Proprioceptive cues, like feeling your own body position. In a game of basketball, the input stage is the point guard, scanning the court and taking in all that visual information about where defenders are standing. Stage two is decision making. This is the cognitive processing stage, and it's the one most candidates underwrite in their exam answers. Decision making involves three sub-processes: stimulus identification, where the brain recognizes what's happening; response selection, where the brain chooses the best action from several options; and response programming, where the brain prepares the motor system to execute that action. This is where selective attention is critical. The performer must filter out irrelevant stimuli, the crowd noise, the floodlights, the pressure, and focus only on the information that matters. An expert performer does this far more efficiently than a novice, which is why experience genuinely improves decision making. Stage three is output. This is the physical execution, the actual movement or skill that results from the decision. A pass, a shot, a tackle. Importantly, the output is not the decision itself. Candidates often describe the output when asked about decision-making, and that costs marks. If the question asks you to explain the decision-making stage, talk about the cognitive process, not the physical action. Stage four is feedback. This is the information the performer receives after the output, which is used to evaluate and adjust future decisions. Feedback can be intrinsic, coming from within the performer, like proprioception telling you the pass felt right, or extrinsic, coming from outside, like a coach shouting instructions or seeing the ball go in the net. Crucially, feedback loops back to the input stage, creating a continuous cycle. This is how tactical awareness improves over time. Each cycle of feedback refines the performer's decision-making for the next situation. Now let's talk about selective attention. This is a concept that separates good answers from excellent ones. Selective attention is the ability to focus on relevant stimuli and filter out irrelevant ones. In a high-pressure match, there is an enormous amount of sensory information competing for the performer's attention. An experienced netball player, for example, has developed the ability to ignore the crowd, tune out fatigue, and focus only on the position of the defenders and the movement of teammates. This filtering process happens at the decision-making stage of the information processing model. Examiners explicitly credit candidates who link selective attention to the filtering of irrelevant stimuli during decision-making, so make sure you use that language. The next major concept is the inverted U theory, also known as the Yerkes-Dodson law. This theory explains the relationship between arousal levels and performance quality, including the quality of decision-making. Imagine a graph shaped like an upside-down U. On the x-axis is arousal level, ranging from low to high. On the y-axis is performance quality. The theory states that performance improves as arousal increases, up to an optimal point. Beyond that point, further increases in arousal cause performance to deteriorate. Now here's the critical link to tactical awareness. When a performer is over-aroused, when their anxiety or excitement is too high, they experience what's called attentional narrowing. Their focus becomes too narrow. They stop scanning the full environment, they miss tactical cues. A basketball player who is over-aroused might fixate on one defender and completely miss the open teammate on the wing. That is attentional narrowing, costing them a tactical opportunity. Conversely, when a performer is under-aroused, perhaps in a low-stakes training session, their reactions are slow, their attention is unfocused, and their decision-making is sluggish. The sweet spot, optimal arousal, is where selective attention is sharpest, reaction times are fastest, and tactical decisions are best. Different sports and different positions within sports have different optimal arousal levels. A snooker player needs relatively low arousal to maintain fine motor control and calm decision-making. A rugby flanker needs higher arousal for explosive physical performance, but even they can be over-aroused, leading to poor decisions and penalties. Section 2, exam tips and common mistakes. Right, let's get into the exam strategy. I'm going to give you the insider knowledge on exactly how to pick up marks on this topic. Tip 1, always name the stage before applying the example. If a question asks you to apply the information processing model to a sporting situation, do not just describe what a player does. Explicitly name the stage first. Say, at the input stage, the tennis player receives visual information about the opponent's body position and racket angle. Then move to, at the decision-making stage, the player uses selective attention to filter out crowd noise and focuses on identifying the type of shot being played. Examiners are looking for stage identification and application. Both are required for full marks. Tip 2. For 6-mark extended response questions, always evaluate the impact on the opponent, not just the performer. If you're evaluating a tactic, say a high press in football, you need to discuss how it affects the opposing team's ability to build play, not just how it benefits the pressing team. Examiners explicitly credit this perspective in the mark scheme. Tip 3. Link arousal to decision-making explicitly. Don't just say, high arousal is bad. Say, over-arousal leads to attentional narrowing, which reduces the performer's ability to detect peripheral tactical cues, resulting in poor response selection during the decision-making stage. That sentence alone could be worth 2 or 3 marks in an extended response. Tip 4. Always use a specific sporting example when a question uses the command word apply. If you give a generic answer without a named sport or specific scenario, you are capped at AO1 marks, knowledge and understanding only. To access AO2 marks, application, you must give a concrete example. A netball center pass is better than a team sport. A goalkeeper deciding whether to come off the line is better than a defensive situation. Tip 5. In your NEA logbook, when you justify why you chose specific drills to improve decision-making, you must explicitly reference the information processing model. Don't just say, I did this drill to improve my passing. Say, this small-sided game was designed to overload the decision-making stage by increasing the number of stimuli the performer must process simultaneously, thereby improving selective attention and response selection under pressure. Common mistakes to avoid. Number 1. Confusing strategy with tactic. Remember, strategy is pre-planned, tactic is reactive. Number 2. Describing the output when asked about decision-making. The physical skill is the output. The cognitive process is decision-making. Keep them separate. Number 3, omitting feedback when evaluating how tactical awareness improves over time. Feedback is the mechanism of improvement. Always include it. Number 4, forgetting to link arousal to attentional narrowing. This is a high-value connection that many candidates miss. Section 3, quickfire recall quiz. Right, I want you to pause after each question and say the answer out loud before I give it. Ready? Question 1. What is the difference between a strategy and a tactic? Answer. A strategy is a pre-planned overall game plan. A tactic is a reactive, in-the-moment adjustment made during performance. Question 2. Name the four stages of the information processing model in order. Answer: input, decision-making, output, feedback. Question 3. What is selective attention, and at which stage of the model does it operate? Answer: selective attention is the ability to focus on relevant stimuli and filter out irrelevant ones. It operates at the decision-making stage. Question 4. What happens to decision-making when a performer is over-aroused? Answer: over-arousal causes attentional narrowing, which reduces the performer's ability to detect peripheral tactical cues, leading to poorer decision-making. Question 5. Give one example of intrinsic feedback and one example of extrinsic feedback. Answer: intrinsic, proprioception, the feeling of a movement. Extrinsic, a coach's verbal instruction or seeing the ball go in the net. How did you do? If you stumbled on any of those, go back and reread that section of your notes before your next revision session. Section 4, summary and sign-off. Let's bring it all together. Tactical awareness and decision-making is fundamentally about how performers process information and make smart choices under pressure. The information processing model gives you the framework: input, decision-making, output, feedback, a continuous cycle that improves with experience and training. Selective attention is the key cognitive skill within that cycle, allowing performers to filter the noise and focus on what matters. And arousal level, explained by the inverted U theory, is the psychological dial that determines how well that whole system functions. Too low and you're sluggish. Too high and you're blinkered. Optimal arousal is the sweet spot for peak tactical performance. In your exam, remember, name the stage, give the example, link to selective attention, and evaluate the impact on both performer and opponent. In your NEA, justify every drill choice with reference to the information processing model. You've got this. Keep revising, keep applying the theory to real sporting examples, and those marks will follow. Good luck, and I'll see you in the next episode. This has been the OCR GCSE Physical Education Revision Podcast. Thank you for listening.